Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here today, and if you had looked at the bulletin, you may have noticed a few changes that I'm not sure that was the same piece that Meryl was planning to play. It wasn't. Our organ is ill this morning and is groaning, and we really don't want to hear it groan while we're worshiping. So we are doing everything on piano this morning. And we are praying that we will be able to get it fixed before this afternoon's concert. But it is good to have you here today, and I do want to invite you to return later this afternoon for our Carol Festival. It's the 73rd annual Carol Festival, our Festival of Carols, where there will be a combined choir of singers from the greater community coming together to sing anthems. There will be an adult and children's ukulele choir here, as well as songs provided by Global Ark Baptist Church and Casa de Fe Alabanza congregation. So it's going to be a wonderful time this afternoon at 5 o'clock. I invite you just to return for that. Before that, I invite you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel. So it's a busy day in the life of our congregation as we prepare for the Christmas season. So if you are here today for the first time as a visitor, we extend a special welcome to you. And there is an insert in the bulletin as well, a yellow insert. If you'd like to order flowers for Christmas, poinsettia, those orders are due today so that we can have them here for next Sunday. And also, you will note the calendar of activities on the back page of the bulletin, and I'm not going to read them to you, but there are several boards and committees meeting this week. Do want to point out, though, that we are providing the worship service at Glen Ridge this Tuesday at 2, and also that feeding ministry is this Friday. We'll be serving our regular menu, and we'll need cakes donated for that. So at this time, though, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 161 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading verses from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 9 as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light.
Those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has come.
For to us a child is born.
To us a son is given.
The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor,
Mighty God,
Everlasting Father.
Prince of Peace.
Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Our opening hymn this morning is the Advent hymn, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, number 163 in the blue hymnal. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. O come, Emmanuel, come to us, for we are lonely for God. Come, bring the peace of God with us. O come, wisdom from on high, lead us in the ways of knowledge and show us the paths of peace. Glorious shoot from the Jesse tree, come and bring life, fresh and green and lovely to our spirits. O rose which blooms in the snow of winter, come and grant to us the blessed gift of hope. O bright morning star of the darkened world, come and be for us the light, the truth, and the way. Jesus, our Christ, we welcome you. Come and be known among us, for we want to be your people. And following your teaching, we pray together as you taught, saying aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. One of the things that we do during Advent to get ready for Christmas as a countdown or a count up is to light candles each week in our Advent wreath. And today's scripture is a familiar one. We just read it a few moments ago. It comes from the prophet Isaiah. For to us is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. As we light the candles today, we are reminded of the hope and expectation, recalling God's promise to send a Savior. As we relight the candle of preparation and peace, we remember the voice crying out in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And today we light the pink candle in our wreath. It's a candle of proclamation and joy. May our hearts be forever filled with the joy of Christ's coming. Let's pray together. Father, we are filled with joy because we have hope and peace that you have sent your Son for all who believe. Help us to be the voices that proclaim grace and truth. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. I invite you to sing the verse of Light the Advent Candle as printed in the bulletin as the Advent wreath candles are lit today. This time, students and teacher may leave for class. Are there any students here today? I'm not sure there are, Paul. But you get to hear the sermon then, that's right. Aren't you lucky? So we come to a time of sharing celebrations and, joys, celebrations, and concerns with one another as we go into prayer this morning. And we were praying for you last week, Paul, because we knew you weren't feeling well, and it's good that you're able to be back with us today and glad you're feeling better. We also want to continue to remember May Upperman as she continues to be at home. Also, Mona Hatch, as she continues to be adjusting to her assisted living situation in Minnesota. And also, we have several folks who are undergoing different treatments right now for long-term illnesses, and we want to keep those folks in prayer today. Do you have any requests for prayer, either a celebration or a concern? Sharon. Okay. Sharon's asking for prayers for the niece of a friend who's having some difficulties right now. Dottie. One of your Australian friends. You have friends all over the world, and her name is Elsa, and she's waiting for a lung transplant, and is on the list and waiting to hear. Unfortunately, we know what that means, that someone has to die in order for that lung to become available, but we do pray for Elsa and her family as she awaits that. Anyone else have a prayer request today? Peggy. Okay. Prayers for your grandson, Chris, and your great-grandson, Colin, and we lift them up in prayer today. Anyone else? Naomi. Okay. So Naomi has a friend who's having some mental issues right now, and sounds like she may be abusing some drugs to find some relief in that, and just looking for some hope as well. So we want to pray for her that she will get the treatment that she needs. Betty, did I see your hand? Okay, great. Yeah, okay, that's Naomi's mom, graduated from her school. That's good. Good. That's good. That's a wonderful celebration. Anyone else? Something else? Anyone else have a prayer request? Oh, yes. Okay, so your mom is in Brazil right now and caring for your younger brother. Some financial issues there, hoping to be able to come back to the United States, but right now, so we want to pray for her and your brother as well. But it's difficult when families are separated. But we want to lift her up in prayer. Any other requests for prayer today? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. God, we come to you this morning in the season of Advent, this time of expectation and preparation. And Lord, we come from many different walks of life, from many different ways of getting here this morning, modes of transportation, from various faith journeys. And yet, Lord, we come here gathered to worship you. We come seeking the hope that is promised through Jesus Christ. Lord, we tend to live in a dark end world. We sense that physically as the sun sets later in the afternoon and rises later in the morning, there's less hours of daylight. But Lord, we also know that there's a spiritual darkness in our world as well. And Lord, we just pray that the light of life, that Jesus Christ, the light of the world, may come once again as we celebrate it on Christmas morning, but that we too may be not only mirrors of that light, but also sharing that light with others, those especially who need to hear it this day. Lord, we know some who are ill today, and we lift them up to you and pray for healing in their lives according to your will. We pray for those who are in pain in the sense of sadness and mourning because of losing a loved one. Lord, we pray for those especially who are suffering from addiction and those who have mental illnesses. We often think of those with physical diseases, but we tend to place a stigma on those who have mental illnesses. And Lord, we lift them up to you today as well and pray that those who are in the throes of addiction or those who are just don't know where to turn, that they may see a light, that they may find the help that they need. Oh God, this is a time of reaching out to others, a time of joy. But we know there's also pain in our world, Lord, and we pray that we may reach out to that pain and help to alleviate some of that in this Advent season as we prepare for Christ's arrival once again. Lord, we lift up those who will be singing this afternoon. We pray for Rosalind Munson, who will be playing the organ, hopefully, for us, and we pray for Richard, who will be directing. And Lord, we just pray that the program this afternoon may present and offer praise and glory to you. We know that it's not a performance on the musicians' parts, but they're sharing love and joy through the words of music with others that are coming this afternoon. Lord, we do pray about our organ as well. We pray that we may have the wisdom and the ability to get it repaired before this afternoon's concert. Lord, we also pray for our world. It seems like whenever we hear the news that there's always fighting someplace, that there is bloodshed and people dying. And Lord, we just pray for peace, that Christ came as the Prince of Peace, and Christ promised to give peace that this world can't give. It's a peace beyond our understanding and beyond our reach. And Lord, we pray for that kind of peace to be in our world in these moments as well. And Lord, we just lift all of these things to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This season tends to be a time of shopping and wrapping and thinking of presents for others, a way of just sharing our love with those whom we know. We also have an opportunity of sharing our love with the Lord, saying thank you to God for all of the blessings we've received. We can do that through our morning offering that supports the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. At this time, the ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts. Let's pray together. Lord, we join in so many joyous songs in this season, so many carols, and we just are so thankful for the gift of music. And Lord, we just present these tithes and gifts to you as gratitude for all of your gifts to us, and we just ask that you would bless them and bless us if we share the good news of Christ's love with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Michael Huddy is lay leader today and will be reading the scripture.
We have two readings this morning. The first is from the Gospel of Luke. It's found on page 52 in the Pew Bible. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, starting in chapter 1, found on page 1 of the Pew Bible. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Here ends the reading.
Thank you, Michael. Let's pray together. Lord, we have read and heard from the Gospels this morning the accounts of the foretelling of Christ's birth, his conception. From two different gospel writers, from two different perspectives, Lord, but yet with the same message. Lord, we come this day in the anticipation and the hope of celebrating Christ's birth once again. But yet, Lord, we're still not quite there. Christmas Day has not come. So we're still in the preparation phase. Lord, this day we just pray that our hearts and our minds may be open to receive a word from you that will help us in our daily living, especially in these days of preparation of Advent. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Songwriters Richard Avery and Donald Marsh composed a song that asked the following questions. Mary, Mary, what you gonna name that baby? What you gonna call that holy baby? The angel had told Mary and Joseph, you will name your baby Jesus. By the time a baby is born, parents very often have chosen a name, or perhaps two names, one for a boy and one for a girl. Sometimes a child is named for a beloved relative. For others, names come from what is common or popular in society. Sometimes parents feel obligated or forced to call their child by a particular name out of a sense of duty. And sometimes parents will keep a name in the back of their minds until just the right child is born for that name. In my family, my parents selected a name for a boy and for a girl when they were expecting their first child, which was a girl. As their next two children were born, they were also girls, by chance, but my parents held on to that boy's name. And finally, after 16 years and three daughters, that male name was able to be bestowed upon a son. My sisters and I sometimes joked that any one of us would have been named Alan if we had only been a boy. But that was conferred on the youngest child in our family. Giving one's child a name is one of the most enduring things a parent does for his or her offspring. And I've read and heard recent recommendations by sociologists to, when you're naming a child, to not only think of that little bundle of joy in your arms, but think of the name when they go to school and when they're an adult or when they're serving in the military. Is that name still going to seem appropriate for them? Because some names that we hear today that are popular, we just say, where did that come from? We just wonder what happened to that. But for some parents, it takes hours of studying long lists of potential names and or weeks of discussion before the birth. And sometimes it's even days after the birth before a name is chosen. They want to see the child before bestowing the name upon that child. For others, it is quite a simple task, almost like someone offers them some inside information or orders a particular name. For these parents, there is no discussing or rehashing lists of names. Somehow, they are certain right away what the child's name should be. That is the way it was with Jesus. The Bible tells us that an angel appeared to both Mary and Joseph separately and said, you will name him Jesus. As a sidelight, I was looking this morning, a relative of Jesus, his name was named John, became known as John the Baptist, had a similar situation going on, that his parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, were very old, well past childbearing age, and they did not have any children. And Zechariah was a high priest, and while he was in the temple doing his duty, an angel came to him and said, guess what, Zechariah? You and Elizabeth are going to become parents. It's interesting, Zechariah questioned, how can that be? You know, we're beyond that. And the angel said, because of your questioning and because of your doubts, you're not going to be able to speak. And Zechariah became dumb and was not able to speak when he left the Holy of Holies that day. But it's interesting, in Luke's gospel that Michael read a few moments ago, Mary asked the same question, but it wasn't with so much, it was more like out of awe, more than really doubting, how can this be? It can never happen. Where Zechariah's was, you got to be crazy. This is not going to happen. And so for that, he was limited in his abilities. But it wasn't until after the baby John was born, and it came time for his circumcision, that he was taken to the temple for the circumcision, and the religious leaders were prepared to name him Zechariah after his father. And Elizabeth speaks up and says, no, his name will be John. Because the angel had told Zechariah, that's what you're going to name this baby. You're going to name him John. And the religious leaders are saying, where'd that name come from? That's not in your family. So then they questioned Zechariah, still not able to speak. And Zechariah asked for something that he could write on or motion with. And he said, the son's name is John. And that became his name was John. Names were so important in the Bible. They were not a mere label of identification. They had meaning behind them. And so Jesus had meaning. John had meaning, intention. And the angel told the parents exactly what they were going to name their child. Easy. They didn't have to go through the list of names and guess what they were going to name the child. They were told, this is what you're going to name your child. In the Bible, names are expression of the essential nature of the one who holds that name. A person's name revealed his or her character. And therefore, we would probably expect a messenger of God to give an amazing or an uncommon name for such an extraordinary child who was to be born of Mary. We think it'd be some wonderful, unique name. When the prophet Isaiah had a son, he reported that the Lord had said to him, call his name Mahal Shalabhazaz. That's a kind of name that raises questions and must be quite a burden to carry through life, even back then when they didn't have all the forms that we have today to fill out. And think of the problems that hymn writers would have had if Mary and Joseph had been given that name for Jesus. Wouldn't rhyme very well. Jesus was, in fact, a very common name among the Jewish people, although not exactly as we have it now. Jesus is derived from the Latin spelling of the Greek Jesus, which was in turn a modification of the Hebrew Joshua. Without going into a lengthy linguistic study, when Jesus went to Hebrew school, he would have been called Joshua. And there would have been many other boys with the same name in his class. In later life, to distinguish this Jesus from other, or Joshua, from the numerous others, he was often referred to as Jesus of Nazareth, or Jesus, son of Joseph, or the Galilean, or the prophet. The Jewish historian Josephus mentions 19 different men named Jesus in his Jewish history. Why would God want his son to be given such a common name? I believe it was another way of demonstrating that Jesus was to be truly one of us, sharing in all the joys and sorrows that we know, subject to the same dangers, feeling the heat and the cold, being hungry and thirsty, laughing and weeping. So the baby received the familiar name Joshua, just as the baby of Elizabeth, Mary's relative, who was born 6 months earlier, was given that common name of John. Names are extremely important, but it's not the name that's given that determines the person each of us is going to become. Even people who are saddled with absurd or meaningless names can live them down and even make them lovely for those who know them. I remember hearing about an infant baptism in Scotland where a little child received the name Pindana, for that was what the father said when asked, what is the Christian name of this child? Afterward, the father complained bitterly to the minister, and he said, you told me you might not remember the name, so I wrote it and pinned it on her. And that's what I said when you asked me. It's pinned on her. Hearing wasn't real good that morning. What is in a name? I trust that little Pindana grew up to be a loving and gracious woman. Yet there was something in the name given to Mary's child, and our scripture lessons tell us what it was. The name Joshua means in Hebrew, the Lord will save. So from the moment of his birth, the Son of Mary was called Savior or Deliverer. And thus we read from Matthew's Gospel that you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And from that day until now, the name Jesus has been lifted high above all other names on earth. And in this season of Advent, when we prepare to celebrate our Savior's birth, we attempt to reach out to others in tangible ways and make their days a little brighter. The brightest message that we can offer is the name of Jesus. For as Christian mass marketers have copywritten, Jesus is the reason for this season. The name of Jesus has persisted across the centuries and around the globe. The name given to a little Jewish boy in a stable in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago has become a name to remember, not only because of his birth, but more importantly, because of his death. His death on a cross for each one of us. As the grown-up man, Jesus observed the Jewish festivals, often with his closest followers and friends. And as he was celebrating the Passover for what he knew would be their last meal together, he made a rather simple request. When you eat and drink of these elements, remember me. Through the generations, Jesus' followers have remembered him, all that he did, all that he taught, and most especially, the selfless act he performed so that we have an opportunity for eternal life. People have remembered the name of Jesus, and it's probably safe to say that more men, women, and children know that name today than ever before. However it is pronounced, Jesus, 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 Jesu, is an instant bond between those who love him. A good part of our attempt to live as Christians would be described as remembering the name of Jesus. In times of joy, like the Christmas season, we remember him, and the joy has a deeper meaning. In times of gloom and despair, we remember Jesus, and he shares the burden and leads us through our difficulties. In times of strong temptation, we remember Jesus, and like the Apostle Paul, we hear a voice that says, "That is not the way you learned from Christ." In times of guilt, we remember Jesus and may hear the voice that said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." To paraphrase an old hymn, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes our sorrows, heals our wounds, and drives away our fear. Around the world, there has been a revival of a prayer by a Russian monk. It's called the Jesus Prayer, and it's a simple repetition of the words, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." It's a good way to begin or end a day, or to seek strength at any moment we may happen to be. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Those are the words that Joseph received from the angel. As we prepare to celebrate Jesus' birthday by singing the carols and hearing the story once more, we are not only traveling back to the manger, we are also preparing for that day when at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray together. Lord, we do celebrate your first advent and coming to the earth, and we do await your second coming, Christ. And Lord, in this in-between time, we pray that we may have hearts open and minds ready to receive words from you, words of encouragement and words of challenge, words that push us out to share the good news of Christ with others. Lord, in this time, as we celebrate Christ's birth and Christ's coming to earth, We are mindful, and we thank you for our human parents and our human families. But we also thank you for the name of Jesus, that he is Savior of the world. We pray that we may live each day with that promise and that knowledge in our hearts, that it may direct all that we do and all that we say. We ask this in his name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne, number 193. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 5. This time of worship is concluding. Go, followers of Jesus, as his disciples, bearing his truth. Go as his apostles, bearing his message. And go as Christians, bearing his name. And may Christ go with you. Amen.